You may be seated. You know, a doctor prepares, studies more, and advances one day to the place, one day, of being able to help people. That's their whole motivation, their goal. To doctor people, and I'm talking generally, there are those that do it for other reasons, but that's the reason that they start in that field. And people like you and me are benefited from them physically. Thank God there's doctors. A lawyer prepares, studies, advances to that place of being able to help people like you and me. And this is true in many professions. People prepare, study, grow, mature, and gain knowledge and use that to help other people. Well, there is a calling on a person's life to be a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, a mechanic, whatever it is. There's a call, and people respond. People that are really called to do this, they respond, and they prepare, and they study, and they grow in knowledge of their chosen field. And one day, they're in a position to help other people. And we need all these other people in life. That's how we function. Now, when a person responds to the call of God, on their, you know, God calls them, they come to Jesus, they're born again, they're saved. You know, they study, they grow, they mature as a believer, they gain knowledge, they get equipped, and one day they're in that position to help people spiritually. But we are to share, just as people in other professions do, we are to share the good news of the gospel with those who suffer from that disease called sin. We need to have the same urgency. You see, we benefit from a lot of people in life, and people need to benefit from us. We as Christians are to help others. We're to help people. We're to help the masses. You know, people need help spiritually. And that's why we're here this morning, to get equipped so we can do that. We have the truth. No one else does but a Christian. We have the truth. And we want to share it with them. We all start out lost. If someone didn't share it with me, I would still be lost. If someone didn't share with you, oh, there's a cure for this disease, and you took it and you got healed, you would still be sick. And that's true in a lot of things. So we are called by God. You have a job, a profession, a calling, and that's to be a Christian. That's a great profession. Your other job is a part-time thing. This is the real thing. You know, people say out there is the real world. They say, well, let's be real, you know, when you talk to them. This is the real world today. This is the real world. This is the real thing in life. You know, people need to be healed of that, the deadly results of sin. I didn't know I was sick and going to hell until I heard it from people, started reading it in the Bible. I always thought, you know, well, you know, I was raised as a Catholic. If I get to purgatory, I'll be happy, you know, or I'll get somewhere, you know. As long as I get in, that's okay, you know. And then I says, wait a minute. You got to start thinking about where you're going to go when you die. That's a reality. We're all sick with sin. And our only hope is in Jesus Christ, no matter how great you have it here. So we don't become Christians and then study the Bible, read it, go to church, receive the Word of God, just to know it, just to receive it, just so I can memorize it. not just to have the knowledge of the truth, but we know it to share it. Isn't it great to share good things with people? You're excited when something good happens in your life, or you go to a good restaurant, rare, but when you do, and you find something good in life, you want to share it. Hey, guess what? Here's a great place, or here's something good. You just want to share it. You don't just hide it. We don't just hide it. I don't know about you, but I like to share things. Some things I get really excited about, and it benefits other people. So we don't just learn and learn and learn to know. There are professional students in life. I mean, you see them, you know, and they're, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm in school taking this. And you see them, you know, 4 years later, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm in school taking this and I'm going for this. And then you see them 4 years later, and what are you doing? Well, I'm in school and I'm going for this degree. And whoa, oh, wait a minute. How old are you, you know? And they just learn to know. Learn to know. You know, we don't want to do that. We have something great. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We have this treasure. We have to think of the gospel as this treasure. God has chosen us to put this treasure in and tell people about the power of God. And it's there to share with people. It's much greater than a cure for cancer. It's greater than any money or anything on this earth. That this gospel, this thing we call the gospel, it's the greatest thing on earth to have a relationship with God and go to heaven. Well, that's a great thing to share, isn't it? So we need to share it. I don't know of anyone who wouldn't want to live in paradise forever in perfect health with God. Do you? I don't know of anyone. Well, there's only one way to get there. Fact is, they don't want to commit to Jesus because they like darkness more than light. They like their sin. That's what our message is about today. We ended last time in verse 20, but these are the ones that were sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. We all bear different amounts of fruit, but we are to produce fruit. When you plant a fruit tree in your yard, what's the purpose of that? And what do you want to do with the fruit? Okay, you use it, right? Same thing, we produce fruit that benefits other people. They can feast on it. See, we don't just know. We need to produce fruit for the purpose of passing it on. We want to bear fruit. And once you have the light, verse 21, he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? Once you have the light, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, are we to cover the light, the truth, the good news of healing from sin? Are we to cover that? Keep it a secret. Hey, I've got a secret. We're so quick to gossip. Let's be honest. We do once in a while. Only other people gossip, right? We don't. We gossip. We talk about others. We talk about things. We judge things. Do all those things we're not supposed to do. Thank God the Holy Spirit corrects us. But we have no problem carrying on stories. We should be so free to share the gospel. Pass it on. Just pass it on, the good news. Light illuminates. It gets rid of darkness. That's what it does. I saw a word in this text this morning that never really caught my eye before. Just this morning. He said to them, is a lamp brought. When you read that quick, you think bought. You know, why do you buy a lamp? Turn it on, light up the room. It says brought. Is the lamp brought? In other words, do you bring a lamp into a room or a flashlight into a room or a candle into a room? Do you bring it in to create more darkness? No, you bring it in to bring light. So it kind of means we bring the gospel, the light. We bring it into the world to light up the world and unbelievers. You see? We don't buy a lamp for ourselves. We're in the light. But we're to bring what we have wherever the darkness is. I wish God would open up dark places for us to share the gospel. That's who needs it. It's a lot easier evangelizing Christians, but boy, the unbelievers really need the gospel. And we need to share. The point is, wherever we go, each one of us, bring the light. But we don't bring it wherever we go just to keep it within or concealed. Bring it to live it and to speak about it. The gospel. See, we have Jesus Christ. Light illuminates. There is no such thing as a secret Christian. When you buy a lamp, you know, and put a light bulb in it, in the room, because you don't have any light in the room, do you then cover it up with a basket or a box? Boy, that wouldn't make sense. You wasted your money. You had darkness before. Why would you buy a lamp and put a light bulb in it and bring it in the dark room and cover it? You know, you want to shine in that room. You want it illuminated so that it's a benefit to all people. See, it says here you bring it into the darkness. When it's brought in there, it's supposed to shine. We need to act like Christians wherever we go. Not be a secret Christian or Christian on a Sunday. We don't want to waste what we've been given. Would you hide the lamp under a bed? That doesn't even make sense to me. There are those that believe here in this text that the word basket represents business in the world. People that have no time for Jesus. You have the light, but no time for Jesus. Just like we read in the parable of the sower. And the word bed represents the love of ease and pleasure. Because those are the kind of things that can hide the light. You know, it's just as we read in verses, turn back to verses 18 and 19. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things, entering in, choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. It doesn't shine. So there's a lot of things that can stop the light from shining in us. Things of the world, pleasure, money, business. It can overtake us. And we really not only don't have time for the Lord, we don't even have time to share what we have. And it can happen so easily. Satan's the great deceiver. Oh, you need that. Having just covered the parable of the sower, you know, it seems very possible that's what's meant here, that these other things could cover it, and that's why he's sharing now. Hey, why do you bring a lamp somewhere? To bring light. Don't let other things put that light out. What are we to do with the lamp? We let it shine, illuminate for Jesus in the world, live for him, let people see him in us. Verse 21, is it not set to be set on a lampstand? We're to put it on a lampstand where it can shine all over. Let's turn to Matthew 5, verse 13. Matthew 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. You know, after the word you, put a comma and then your name. You, Jim, Jim are the salt of the earth. Put your name there. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by a man. You, whatever your name is, are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp, put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. See, it gives light to all who are in the house. Yeah, but I have unbelievers in the house. Well, that's where you want to be the light. Well, but there's all unbelievers on my job. That's where you want to be the light. You see? They can't drown your light out. Only you and I can prohibit the light from shining from us. No one else can stop that. It's our choice to shine wherever we go. Isn't that great? The world's our field. Wherever we go, we can shine for the Lord. And they may see your good works. That's how we do it. Our actions, our speech, which we covered Wednesday night, that glorifies God. Because there's some people that won't listen, but boy, they can't deny that the light is shining through you. You're different. You know, I used to love it when I first became a Christian. People would come up to you on the job or somewhere else and say, "You're different. Praise the Lord." And because we should change and be different wherever we go. We believers are the light of the world. Others are in darkness. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 12. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, the people might speak evil of you. Oh, you Christians, you're so narrow-minded. You're this, you're that, you're unloving. You know, we are so misunderstood, aren't we? They don't know, people don't know that we love them. You know, people don't like to hear the truth. You know, and so when you share truth, they get angry with you. It's horrible to be the messenger, isn't it? You know, someone else would do it. and you just go talk to them later. But people will speak evil of you. But it says here, having your conduct honorable, when we're living godly, when they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they can't deny, which they will observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. See, they can't deny your lifestyle. And it works. People see you're different. You love God. You love them. And you just shine for the Lord. A lot of times people don't want to talk to you. They want nothing to do with you until they're sick. And then they will come and ask you to pray for them. Strange, isn't it? Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. 2:15. Chapter 2, verse 15. That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. In that crooked and perverse generation, I think we can say amen. That's the way it is out there. We are to shine as lights. And we can do that. Isn't that awesome? God's given us this opportunity to be the light of the world. They can't deny your good fruit. You know, as we share this, maybe you feel discouraged that you're really not doing much for the Lord because you're in a situation where you're kind of constrained or an unbelieving household or working among unbelievers or just trying to make a living, doing your job, doing the best you can, and you don't have time to do certain things or serve the Lord in a full capacity you believe, you are ministering. You're a minister of the gospel. You're doing a lot for the cause of Christ just by being a light where you are. Don't ever feel that you're not doing anything. We're going to be surprised when we get to heaven who's living in the best mansions. You say, well, never heard of them. Never saw them do anything spectacular. But God saw those spectacular things they did day in and day out just by being an obedient servant of the Lord and blessing those around them. He sees that. We don't have to do great things or many things. When you turn the light on, it just shines. It doesn't say, oh man, I'm going to try to shine today. Oh, I hope I can. It just shines. You're a minister just by being a light wherever you are. Isn't that wonderful? You might touch 100 people today. Oh, I wish I could speak to the masses. You can be among the masses and be the light. Don't ever feel like you've achieved nothing or you're doing nothing. You're doing great things for God just by being a child of God and being obedient to what he tells you to do. And that's to shine for Jesus. You're the light of the world. Don't change. Don't conform. Don't compromise. Be the light. You know who wasn't a light at one time? Peter. Oh, I blew it. I missed out. I haven't been living right for the Lord. Start today. Don't let the past control the present. Each day is a new day. That's what's great about reading the Word of God and hearing the Word of God. I can leave today and be different. No matter what I did yesterday, I can live for the Lord today. Peter didn't. Let's turn to Mark 14. Turn ahead to Mark 14. Verse 27. Then Jesus said to them, all of you, and he's speaking to the deadly dozen here. He's talking to the top guys here. And he said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. They probably were shocked. Come on, Lord. Peter is the one that always speaks up. Peter said to him, even if, I know these other guys, Lord, even if all were made to stumble, yet I will not be. You can count on me. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that today, even this night before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But Peter doesn't believe the Lord, the one he follows. He says, he spoke more vehemently. He gets angry with the Lord here. I don't think you heard me, God. I'm never going to let you down. He spoke more vehemently. If I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise, no way, Lord. Well, I'll die with you. We'll go down with you. That was the flesh. Just living in the flesh, counting on your own power. Let's go to verse 65. Then some began to spit on him, to blindfold him, to beat him, and to say to him, prophesy. And the officials struck him with the palms of their hands, speaking of Jesus. Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, you also were with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied it. There's not much time between those verses. Isn't that sad? But he denied it. What did he say he wouldn't do? Deny you. But he denied it, saying, I neither know or understand what you are saying. And he went out on the porch and a rooster crowed. He was fearful. He just wanted to save his own skin. See, fear, embarrassment, persecution can cover the light. All those things are lampshades. Baskets, boxes. And so he denied it. And verse 16, and the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, this is one of them. But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you're one of them, for you are a Galilean. You can't hide your accent. Your speech shows it." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." A second time the rooster crowed, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And when he thought about it, he wept. He immediately realized, "Oh, I was walking in the flesh. I got embarrassed. I was fearful. I denied my Lord." Isn't that awful? We can get put in those situations where you really don't want anybody to know you're a Christian, or you're afraid to share, or whatever. I hope the Lord lets us all go home and weep. And we realize, wow, I blew it. You know, I didn't shine for Jesus. But Peter changed his life, you know. We read later on where Jesus looked at Peter specifically as to say, "You're forgiven." Peter then, we have a couple of books in the Bible, 1 and 2 Peter. This man grew and stood for the Lord, but he was powered by the Holy Spirit. You see, we need to check ourselves out. Maybe there's something covering that lamp. And we can get in these positions. Oh, we have all the great intentions. Never deny the Lord. Yet one day we find ourselves. We say to ourselves, "I should have said something. There was an open door. And I didn't. I was afraid. I didn't want to cause any waves." You know, are we covering up the lamp with embarrassment, fear, worldliness, pleasure, fear of persecution, things of the flesh? You know, we need to take that off and shine. Because we're told back in our text, verse 22, "For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light." One day, everything's going to be revealed. I'm glad we're saved through Jesus Christ and our slate is clean. Other people are going to be judged from the books were written in the book of life. A couple of things in verse 22. The truth of Jesus Christ will be revealed one day, and all will acknowledge he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Everybody will acknowledge that. That'll be revealed, that this was all true. Can you imagine people saying, "They were right"? And while we're living, they were saying, "We are wrong and dumb." They're going to have to say, "They were right." Another thing, God knows where we are and what we are doing now. Nothing's hidden from the Lord. You know, there are no secret places. Are we allowing the flesh, pleasure, business, or things of the world take precedence over Jesus? Is that first? Is that running our life? Or is Jesus running our life? He knows, you know, like J. Vernon McGee said, there's three types of people: believers, unbelievers, and make-believers. But God knows the make-believers. He knows those that are sitting in church that are make-believers, those professing Christ that are make-believers. He knows those. And one day it's going to all be revealed. You can't fool God. There's no secrets in life. Matthew chapter 10, please, verse 26. Matthew 10, verse 26. "Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known." Nothing. "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." We shouldn't fear anyone that could kill us. They're sending us home. We need to fear those that, you know, he's telling those unbelievers, fear the one who's able to destroy both body and soul. and where you spend eternity in hell. That's who we should fear, God. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? He's in charge, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. We don't want to deny the Lord. It needs to be first. Verse 23, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. You notice how often we see this in the Gospels? If you have ears to hear, hear. Listen up. He's warning them, listen up. Listen. Verse 24, then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. Take heed what you hear. Use it. He's more or less saying, use it. Put it into practice because you're accountable. You and I are accountable for what we hear from the Word of God. When you read something and, you know, maybe you've missed it in the past, you read it and it pierces you and it's a certain part of your life, you say, oh, now I know it. Now I'm responsible to do it. Oh, I was trying to avoid that chapter, but they teach the whole Bible here and they go verse by verse. Oh, I try never to go there, but here it is. We're responsible for it. We're accountable for it. We need to put it into practice. If I don't obey what I receive in here, then I can't pass it on. The whole idea is to pass it on. So we keep taking in the Word of God, practice it, and share it. And what we measure out to others will be measured back to us. And that's really a theme in the Bible. God gives back to us what we give out to others. You see, and more will be given back to you. We don't control the outflow. And what we're given is not just for us. We hear, apply, and we give it out, and then more will be given back. It's like a fountain of living water. We pour it out, and God keeps pouring it in. We don't measure what we give out or how much we do. We just do it. We live for the Lord. 4, verse 25, whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. If one buries what they have, if we have the gospel, we are to give it out. Because he says, if you don't give what you've been given, what you have will be taken away. Apparently, it was an empty profession, no fruit. See, when God gives us more truth, we grow, we hear more, and we're to use what we've been given, and God then gives us more. I know as a Christian, when I first became a Christian, I didn't know very much, but I wanted to give it out. So we got involved in sharing in different places. God just opened doors for us. I didn't even know how to pronounce some of the books of the Bible. We were that raw. You know, and different words in the book of Psalms, you know, and and Job, or Job, you know, and different things, and just reading words, and they couldn't even pronounce them right, you know. We were there, my wife and I, sharing in juvenile hall in Orange there with kids, and just knew so little, some could even correct you, you know, and but at least we were giving it out. Some were coming to the Lord, and it's just a pleasure to give out. But as you give it out, we found, well, then there's more and more. God gives you more and more. But if you're just taking it in and taking it in, it just gets stale. Then another parable in verse 26. The kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground, should sleep by night, rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, he himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. And that's the way it works if you watch things grow. So this parable is speaking of the kingdom of God. It relates again to a man planting seed, a farmer sowing seed. A farmer, you know, in verse 26, he scatters the seed on the ground. He plants the seed. That's normal. That's the way you do things. But then if he sleeps by night, rise by day, and suddenly one day it sprouts and it grows. I don't know if you've ever planted a garden, but that's an exciting day when you see something pop up out of the ground. And I've shared this often, you know, when we lived back east, we planted a garden, and I was so excited, planted a lot of different things and carrots. You know, and carrots, you know, you plant them and they come out with like this green leafy thing on the top of the ground. They come out. I was so excited about it that I pulled them out, and I had carrots about this big, these little tiny things. You gotta wait. You gotta have patience, you know, but you're so excited. You couldn't even get a whole bite, you know. Probably as much as you get a fine dining place, you know, you get two of these little carrots like that and a green bean, something like that. And it costs a lot of money. That makes sense, doesn't it? You go home and you stop at Carl's or McDonald's or somewhere, or pizza. Hey, let's get a pizza, you know. But yeah, you have to have patience. But one day you go out and there it is. Wow, it actually grew. My food, we grew it. You know, so that's the way it works. He sleeps at night, rises, it sprouts, it grows, and he himself does not know how. No, he's not a scientist, or they just planted stuff and it grew. Probably wondering, hey, I don't know how it works, but it works. You put something in the ground, a little seed, and something else comes out. It just works. You don't know how, but it works. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a miracle? You put something in the ground that doesn't look anything like the end product, and it comes out, and you can eat it. That's amazing. You know what I call it? A miracle. God does it. I plant these vegetables, and there they are. This happens in the earth. It happens in the earth. Doesn't even see it. It's not magic. It's God. That's the parable. See, and it's speaking of Jesus while walking on the earth, planted the seed, the truth. Today, we as followers do. We plant the seed, the gospel. It's received in hearts on good soil. It grows, it's fertile ground. The seed is nourished and watered and tended to by God. And then we grow and we share. It's a miracle. But we got to remember, God does the work. It's a miracle. That's how it happens. We read that last week. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, and you are God's building. That's more or less what he's telling us there. God, you know, we're God's field, God's building. He's done it. And the last verse, one day, still coming, but when the grain ripens, when it's all complete, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. One day that harvest is coming. Soon and very soon, the king is coming. That harvest is pretty close to being complete. And we will be taken home to be with the Lord. We believers go to be with the Lord. God, we thank you for your word today. So good to be refreshed here today. I thank you for these people that have come to hear you. I pray you bless them. And I pray, Lord, we leave here shining so brightly that people will have to wear sunglasses. God, we just want to do what's right. Bless us personally and bless us as a church. Work miracles in our midst. Encourage us to share what we have. And open more doors of opportunity, Lord. Thank you for your great love for us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.